south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, back after babysitting my brother from Chicago for a couple of weeks. And nope, he wasn't kidnapped, and he still has all of his organs, I think. Wouldn't do much good for someone to abscond with him anyway, since he's on something like 18 prescription medications. I'm not kidding. He brought a pillbox I couldn't believe. Now, here's a guy who's 5 years younger than I am. 75 pounds heavier, too. Of course, bought and paid for on a strict 100% all-American hamburger, hot dog, and junk food diet. A guy who can nod off anywhere, at the dinner table, in a car, at a park bench, at the drop of a hat, anywhere. Who walks with a cane and has to be taken around in a wheelchair at the airport. He's had 7 different operations on his joints, cartilage, and tendons. All from, you probably guessed it, sports injuries when he was in his teens and 20s. And man, now is he paying for it. Then he sprung it on me and said in April he's got an appointment to get a knee replacement. I said, what? Are you nuts? You are not going to go for stem cells? And then I had to explain it all to him. Second time I did that already a year ago or so. But you know those Americans, the first thing he said was, will insurance pay for it? And when I said no, it's something like $7,000 to $9,000, depending. At my favorite stem cell clinic in Mexico, he said, oh man, I think I'll get the $50,000 knee replacement since insurance will pay for it. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? But then again, I can't convert this guy because he's got the American attitude. You know, that American doctors are gods. And what's not FDA approved or insurance won't pay for, then there's obviously something wrong, correct? I told him, look, sure, the rest of your life you'll be out of pain in that knee, but you'll have limited mobility, you'll have a huge scar, it'll look ugly, and you'll have to take even more meds so that thing doesn't flare up on you because it is, you know, a foreign body, a large foreign body implanted within you. And your immune system won't like that, so you'll have to take certain medicines, probably forever. But he's used to that. So then, being my brother and a captive audience, I sat him down and showed him some YouTubes of actual guys who ruined their joints, cartilage, and tendons, doing sports like he had, unable to get around without pain anymore, so their doctors recommended titanium joints, just like my brother was recommended. But these guys somehow discovered there's such a thing called stem cell treatments. They went and spent the $7,000 to $9,000 at a stem cell clinic, out of the U.S., of course, because it's still considered experimental there. And a year later, these guys are back in the gym, lifting heavy weights, running marathons, with most, if not all of them, saying they're 90% better. And when they get back to their doctor in the States and they redo the x-rays and scans, nearly every doctor can't believe the improvement. Some of them say, this is not you. It can't be. And finally, after they realize it is, they say, whatever you've done, keep doing it because you don't need a knee, shoulder, or elbow replacement anymore. So anyway, next stop for my brother, in fact, both of my brothers, is the stem cell clinic. Now, I was going to do this about a year or so ago and bring my mom too, but my mom, since the COVID thing, who, by the way, has a knee replacement already and is set to get another one just as soon as her senior citizen COVID panic phase dies down. I'm sure you all know about that and have experienced it yourself if you've got any old farts in the family, since the media has hammered into everyone's head that if you're over 60, the COVID grim reaper has your number and will pounce on you at any time. Well, my mom, who's 90, wears her mask in the house when she drives and won't let anyone, even her family, within 10 feet of her. And here's a lady with 2 PhDs. Can you believe it? Man, there's just so many people out there like her. They've got no idea there's an alternative news media that's telling the truth. They just go with the usual suspects. CNN, YouTube, Google, Wikipedia, NPR, and all those anti-social media platforms. You know what I'm talking about. Which really goes to show you can be very smart and stupid at the same time. But you knew that already. Then there's my other brother, 10 years younger than I am. Also a victim of multiple sports injuries. A guy who's had multiple cartilage and tendon surgeries, as well as heart stents in his 40s. And now that his sports days are over, he's gained a ton of weight like many people do. He too is about 75 pounds overweight, and his heart is failing. He's got only 30% ejection fraction, which means shortly, because those things don't get better by themselves, you know, his ejection fraction will be in the 20s, and then he'll be on a heart transplant list. However, if you know anything about stem cell therapy at all, you'll know The three things it works the best for, where they have very good to excellent results, are musculoskeletal problems, like tendon, joint, and cartilage problems. Number two, heart problems, because, you know, the heart is nothing but a big muscle. And number three, all types of arthritis. So shortly, in a month or so, I'll be taking that trip that I should have taken and had planned over a year ago, before we were so rudely interrupted by the COVIDiot panic. I'll keep you posted on all that. I'm going to get the treatment too, not because I've got any particular health problems. I don't. I'm not on any prescription medicine except the occasional dose of sumatriptan, that's Imitrex, for migraine headaches. But I understand the latest and greatest fad is that as you approach old age, stem cells can give you a nice tune-up. In fact, it's been touted as a very successful anti-aging treatment. So I'll give it a shot. I mean, I'll be there with my brothers. And for sure, I'll keep you all posted on how that turns out. So then why bring up my brothers and their problems and all that COVIDiot crap? Well, for a couple of very good reasons. Stick with me on this now. I have a sister up in Chicago, too, who's very tuned in. Libertarian, hates government, is into gold, guns, and Bitcoin, and despises woke people. And she takes all the right vitamins and supplements, except, like she says, there's almost no way up in Chicago where she lives to get her hands on the two drugs that can help the most if anyone ever does get hit with the COVIDiot thing. I'm talking about chloroquinolone and ivermectin. You've heard about them. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Thing is, she works in a hospital. She's a phlebotomist, and she still can't get her hands on that stuff without a prescription. And in fact, she says only chloroquinolone is available at some of the pharmacies, and you can't even get ivermectin. Most people, even pharmacists, have never heard of it. Although down here in Latin America, everyone knows about it. In fact, doctors say it can cure 80% or more of the severe cases if you catch it early. That is, right at the beginning when you start showing flu-like symptoms. So, with my brother here visiting, we walked into a pharmacy. I bought four full treatment doses of chloroquinolone and four full treatment doses of ivermectin. I mean, enough. So, for example, if you woke up in the morning with the snivels and you started to feel like the flu was coming on, if you started taking chloroquinolone at 200 milligrams a day for something like 5 or 6 days, and ivermectin at about 24 milligrams a day for 5 or 6 days, you got something like a 95% chance of getting over it in just a couple of days, and almost 100% chance of never ending up in the hospital. Go ahead, look up the stats. But don't look it up on places like Google, because they censor and skew things in favor of the WHO and Big Pharma. But you knew that already, right? Do your searches with something like the Brave browser, or Startpage, or DuckDuckGo. That is, if you don't want the censored Dr. Falsey and Big Pharma version. So anyway, we walked into the nearest drugstore. I bought 30 200 milligram tablets of chloroquinolone and a whole poop load of ivermectin that comes in a 6 milligram tablet. Really tiny things they are. So you'll take four of those every day for something like 5 days if you start getting flu-like symptoms. That's why I mentioned before you take 24 milligrams of the stuff a day. It sounds odd, 24 milligrams. Well, that's because you take 4 6-milligram tablets. 4 times 6 is 24. So anyway, like I said, we bought four complete treatment regimens. That would be for four people if they started coming down with symptoms. And the total price, get this, $60. In other words, you can completely eliminate the possibility that COVID will ever take you over. As long as, of course, you start the treatment when you first get symptoms. For around $15 a person. But remember, you can only do that if you live down here in Latin America, because you know you can walk into a pharmacy, you don't need a prescription here for anything. In fact, my brother, who's in constant pain with all those joint problems, bought a box of oxycodone. You know, that's heavy-duty addictive stuff, but they just handed it over to him. The package he got, package of 20, had some dust on it, by the way, because Latin Americans have no idea what that stuff really is. No one uses it down here. Pharmacists will tell you that, and that's why there's dust on the package. It's been sitting on the shelf a long, long time. It's just they keep it on hand in stock because they have to be a complete pharmacy, so they have a little bit of everything there. Fact is, there is no opioid problem here in Latin America. I've never met a single person who was on the stuff for any reason at all. The irony is, Latin America is the staging ground for most of that stuff. That ends up where? In the U.S., of course. So yes, they have the addictive opioids, but no one seems to be using this stuff recreationally down here. Though you can walk into any drugstore down here and just ask for it. You won't believe the prices either. That is, if it's a generic drug. Because if you ask for the proprietary name on any drug, meaning the brand name, it can be 3, 4, even 5 times as expensive. Case in point, Imitrex. That's that migraine medicine I was talking about that I have to take once in a while. If I ask for the brand name Imitrex, it's from the big pharma company GlaxoSmithKline. It's something like $15 a pill. If I ask for the generic, which is sumatriptan, I'm paying $3 a 100-milligram pill. They're the same compound and work the same for me. Just saying. Then there are people like my overeducated 90-year-old mother who absolutely trusts her doctors and anything the FDA says. And when they prescribe a brand-name medicine, she will not take a generic, even though it's half the price or less, especially if insurance is paying for it. She really does believe that brand-name drugs are better. And if you do your research, you'll find there's lots of propaganda out there, too, that says that very thing. But if you pay attention and dig deep, if you look at the studies, you'll find most of those trials are done in university labs and institutions that are funded by Big Pharma, who own the brand names. But you have to dig deep sometimes because it's not really obvious until you research all the players and who funds the buildings and the equipment too. So there's an automatic bias to the results. Even with doctors and researchers who are supposedly independent, you have to look at all the other trials they've done and if Big Pharma was involved. If a doctor researcher continuously gets money from Big Pharma, if he does any other piece of outside research, he knows what side his bread's buttered on. If you check it out, you'll find that in many studies, they know what they want the outcome to be before the trial even starts. But you knew that already. Though there is a caveat to that. When I go to the pharmacy down here or take someone to the pharmacy, whatever they're buying, I look on the label, and if it's made in China, I always recommend asking for one that's made more locally because you can almost always find a generic made locally. Latin America's filled with pharmaceutical manufacturing facilities. In fact, in the early days, in the boots-on-the-ground version of my Expat Insider Seminar, I took groups through such a pharmaceutical factory. If not, just to prove there's nothing third world about those factories, that all the proper first world techniques, standards, and rigid guidelines were in place. But I only took my seminar people through the pharmaceutical factory a couple of times. Why? Well, because after about 10 minutes of watching machines and robots package pills into blisters and bottles, it gets pretty boring. So as for future seminars, we won't be going back to those pill factory yawn fests anytime soon. All right, here's the second reason I brought up my ailing sports damaged brother. For the last few days, he was down here. And as of recording this show, he left just yesterday. We stayed 4 days at one of those nice beachfront all-inclusive resorts. And believe it or not, it was only 17% occupied. They're losing money hand over fist, but they got to stay open. You may have heard me mention on a past show, most of those big resorts are now providing COVIDiot tests right on the premises the last day you're there, so you don't have to fret about finding a proper lab and getting the results within that 3-day window required, the 72-hour period, for so-called valid test results when returning back to the States. So anyway, I went with my brother to the little clinic on the premises. It was one of those rapid tests, so you get the results back within 2 hours. So we're waiting there, mulling outside the little building with 20 other gringos, all waiting to get their test or the results from that test. And this tall, blonde, apparently German guy storms over. And when he started talking, I realized at once he was Russian. His wife was with him, and I said, "Where are you guys from?" And she said, in a thick Russian accent, "New Jersey." Hey, who knows? Maybe they've got a borscht palace or a Russian tea room in New Jersey. Probably do. Anyway, the guy walks into the nurse's station, starts making a big stink with the nurse at the desk in English. Turns out he just got his test results back and he was COVIDiot positive. By the way, they send the results to your cell phone or email immediately. So he was COVIDiot positive. That's what the test said anyway, and we know how wrong they can be. But he was showing no symptoms at all. He kept on repeating that to the nurse, and the nurse says, "You don't feel anything? You don't feel bad at all? You don't feel fatigued or headache, sniffles, fever?" He said, "Of course not," and he was fuming. Because now that he tested positive, he has to stay in the country for from 7 to 10 days, get retested, until he comes up negative. So in his case, he and his wife were stuck at that resort for another 7 to 10 days with no real solid assurances that they were going to cover his stay. It's something like $200 a day for two people at an all-inclusive resort. So if the resort itself didn't pick up those costs, it was going to cost him about $2,000 more out of his pocket. Besides the fact, he'd have to switch his flights around and whatever messed up travel plans it would cause in the wake. So suddenly he's in the Twilight Zone with his wife dragged into it with him. And believe me, all the gringos and expats who were standing around waiting in line, they were suddenly put on edge themselves with fingers crossed, hoping their test didn't come up positive and be stuck in the same boat as that Russian guy, who, by the way, kept saying to the nurse, "Look at me, I'm not sick. Come, come, take temperature. I'm strong like bull." But she explained, rules are rules. And predictably, everyone started slowly but surely moving away from the guy as if he had leprosy or maybe ate a big bowl of borscht and farted. And that, my friends, is exactly why I've been postponing my latest Expat Insider Seminar. Sure, everything could go quite smoothly. It usually does. However, here's the problem. I just looked it up, and this data is changing all the time. According to a Pew Research Center study conducted in January 2021, just a couple months ago, they say 1 in 7 U.S. adults will test positive, which means, of course, they may not have had COVID at all, or they may actually have it, or they've got old pieces of a SARS virus, an infection they could have had years ago and completely conquered by their immune system. But deactivated particles can sometimes remain in your system for years. So even years later, you could test positive. That means if I had, for example, at my next seminar, 15 people, and the facts say 1 in 7 adults will test positive, that means there's a good chance that one or maybe two of the people attending the seminar will test positive. Because, you know, all the tests are slightly different, and you might test positive with one test and negative with another. You must have heard the Elon Musk story. He said he had 4 different rapid antigen COVID tests done on the same day, and 2 came up positive and 2 came up negative. So really, it's all bullshit, isn't it? Problem being, though, if you test positive, if you're traveling, the hammer will come down and you will get quarantined for 7 to 10 days for sure. And of course, we don't have the luxury that Elon Musk has of going around and getting 4 tests in one day at 4 different labs until you come up with a negative result. That's not going to happen, especially when you're in a foreign country. And as far as my seminar is concerned, when all the attendees arrive from the US, Canada, Europe, and whatever, obviously they will have tested negative or they wouldn't be able to take the flight, right? And then a week or so later, when they're returning, they have to take the test again. And if any one of those tests shows up positive, which is likely, just think of that 1 in 7 statistic and the obvious errors. So if a person tests positive, they will be stuck in the country for 7 to 10 days minimum. And that will put a huge damper on the seminar experience. How could it not? So we had to make the decision that we won't do a seminar until all COVIDiot test requirements are dropped. And when will that happen? Well, you hear people talking about herd immunity, and that's certainly a thing that exists for every bacterial and viral disease. So finally, when Dr. Shit for Brains Falsey and the rest of his kiss-ass cronies announce that herd immunity has been achieved, there will be no more testing, and that's when we'll do the next seminar. So when might that be? Well, something's got to give because world economies have been destroyed. So I'm hoping anyway we can do the seminar by the end of the summer or maybe the new year. For sure, I'll keep you posted. So for those of you who want to get the hell out of Dodge in a hurry, and I don't know why you wouldn't, and those of you who are definitely on that plan B, send me an email to expatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the early bird discount list for my upcoming seminar, which will be, again, whenever they drop that COVIDiot testing requirements. And for all you who've signed up for the latest seminar that's been postponed, we can either roll over the money you've paid already or you can get a refund. Your choice. I'll be in contact with you individually, so stay tuned. All right, changing gears in a big way. How would you like a boots-on-the-ground analysis of what the average Latino thinks of brain fart Alzheimer poster child Joe Biden now that he's gotten in? Well, the fact is the average Latino is overjoyed that he's got in. They see him as the migrant president. He's turning into the patron saint of illegal aliens. St. Joe, St. Jose. In fact, if you read any of the local Latin American rags, you know, they're in Spanish, so I don't expect you to be reading them, but most of them are online, so you'll see articles that say that Mexican immigration officials are very worried. They expect a huge influx of illegals coming from south of their borders. The fact is, those Mexican immigration officials are saying that organized crime, you know, the cartels and such, have been changing their modus operandi from day one when Biden took office. And they expect to offset the dough they've lost with legalization of marijuana in the States and Canada with more layers and levels of coyote sophistication. You know, bringing illegals in from south of the border on through to places like California, Nevada, and Texas. In fact, get this. Gangs that are into the human smuggling business are so sophisticated, they're offering free classes briefing potential clients on the latest immigration rules, scams, and huge list of benefits you can receive once you get there and get yourself a fake Social Security number, which is the first step to getting other documentation like internet service, medical and housing assistance, and a legal driver's license. Crazier yet, narcos and traffickers are setting up legit travel agencies that are actually disguised human smuggling operations. And once you sign up with them to make the trip, they hook you up with all the apps to update every illegal who's paid the fee on where the cops, immigration officials, and safe houses are, alerting them to and pinpointing things on Google Maps regarding checkpoints, how to navigate the immigration laws, and what to do and how to act if they get picked up, and how to handle the immigration forms and what to say and put down if you happen to end up at an immigration holding area at the border. Oh, and did you know that once you've paid a gang or a group of coyotes to take you through, they'll tell you exactly what to say to American authorities to get you prioritized and preferential treatment. The hot-button words to put on the forms being extortion, death threats from street gangs, and for women, rape, which instantly puts them in a different category than the regular immigrant trying to sneak through for economic reasons or poverty. And of course, illegals are being told to bring along children if at all possible to make it easier to apply for asylum. And in fact, if you have the means, gangs and cartels will rent you a kid to get you through. After all, you know how politicians in the States are always whining and wailing about separating children from their families? And because of that, when illegals are caught at the border on the state side with a kid, the child and accompanying parent or parents, are always given preferential treatment and better housing. So then you might ask, what's the going rate for coyotes to slip you into the United States? Well, according to a very recent article from Guatemala's biggest paper, the Prensa Libre, an unaccompanied minor or child can gain passage to the U.S. through the border for about $3,500 and from $5,000 to $10,000 if you're a Latino adult. But they charge double, even triple, if you're an African refugee. Say what? African? Well, Brazil and a few South American countries offer safe passage to certain African nationals if they can get there. It's a hell of a long swim. Though few Africans have the dough to fly to Brazil, many of them can scrape enough dough together to take a boat. And once in Brazil, quite a few of them decide they want to make it up through to the United States. But that costs real dough. And this article says the average African can make it from Brazil to the U.S. via the coyote route for around $20,000. And as far as Asians without visas or paperwork, they pay even more, from $25,000 to $30,000. Why? Well, for one thing, like black Africans, they're harder to hide. Not to mention it's well known by cartels, smugglers, and coyotes that unlike Africans, that Asians are almost never isolated or alone. Most have nice, tight family networks and can easily come up with larger amounts of dough. So bottom line, Joe Biden has become the new hero of Latin America's poor and middle classes. Especially ever since they heard that he canceled the work on Trump's border wall. He's been practically canonized as a saint. The question is that okay with you? Meanwhile, in more illegal alien news, just a few days ago, March 14th, get this, Byron Estuardo Araña Hernandez, an asylum seeker from El Salvador, had the right to remain silent, but according to court records, he just couldn't shut up when he was stopped by U.S. Border Patrol agents on the state highway between Deming Hatch and southern New Mexico. Turns out after being given his Miranda rights, he told agents he and his mother had picked up 10 immigrants they were smuggling near Fabians, Texas, and were driving them to Dallas via Albuquerque to settle them in for $1,000 apiece. So in effect, he's providing a certain kind of service for illegals who've already made it to the States and now have to find a safe place to stay and get settled in. But the 25-year-old Byron, being proud of his job, just had to tell Homeland Security about how he made his dough. He told the agents he was a major immigrant smuggler who had smuggled more than 800 people across the border into the U.S., earning an estimated $500,000 in the last 3 years. So then how'd he and his mother get into the States? Well, they came through from El Salvador claiming to be asylum seekers some 5 years earlier. You know, using the violence, rape, and gang threat thing. The proper hot-button explanation to put on the forms the way the coyotes trained them. Oh, and it says, according to court records, agents then did a financial background check into the guy and found hundreds of thousands of dollars passing through his Dallas area bank account, revealing that $80,000 had just passed through one account in the last month, all in cash deposits and withdrawals. Agents also found a stash of fake Social Security numbers. And despite the hundreds of thousands of dollars reflected in his bank accounts, his own reported earnings, by the way, he had two Social Security cards himself. Anyway, his reported income for the previous year, $180,
with no other income reported.
Now, here's the thing, and you probably know this already. When U.S. Border Control and Immigration picks up people doing things like this, they file a case, and while it's pending to be heard in court, they release the suspects on their own recognizance. They have to because there are tens of thousands of cases like that every year. And if they detained them, they'd have to build massive facilities. So weeks or months later, when the court date arrives, they just don't show up. Would you? Which is why down here in Latin America, I keep meeting Latinos. I've met dozens of them who've been deported 3, 4, even 5 times. They just keep on going back. It's a revolving door. And you longtime listeners have heard me talk about the fact that every one of the hundreds, if not thousands of towns here in Latin America has a, quote, fixer, or 2 or 10. The guy you go to, that'll sneak you into the United States. Doesn't matter what Latin country you live in, there's a fixer that'll give you curb service from your doorstep to wherever you want to go in the States. And even if the guy or gal doesn't have the 5 or 10 grand, his family members will sign a note and everyone's on the hook to pay it off. It's a huge business that no one's doing anything about. And St. Jose, St. Joe has just flung the barn door wide open. Such a humanitarian, huh? Aren't you glad you voted for him? Now, you might ask, what do gringos and expats with a plan B living down here in Latin America think about all that? Well, I can tell you what people are saying out loud and behind closed doors. There's definitely no brain drain down here. The people who are educated, smart, and have decent jobs, they don't want to go to the United States and live. They want to go to Disneyland, of course, but they want to come back and live a nice, comfortable life down here. It's the poor, the uneducated, and unfortunately, the criminals who are sneaking into the United States and what expats on and off the record are saying, you can have them. It's funny, too, because all the expats and gringos down here and people with a plan B, most all of them are smart, educated, forward thinkers. They can see the writing on the wall and they don't want to go down with the Titanic. Meanwhile, you got poor, uneducated, disenfranchised, and criminal Latinos making plans to end up in a neighborhood near you. So my advice, parents, make sure your kids learn Spanish. Oh, and one more thing, for all of you guys and gals out there who actually vote, remember one thing. Governments don't care about you. They have one major purpose, to be an elite and to make sure the other elites keep their privileges and, of course, get reelected. Everyone else is a pawn, a statistic, a useful idiot. And fortunately for the politicians and the feds, there are millions of useful idiots. And if you vote, sorry to say, you're one of them. Unless, of course, you walk to the polling place for exercise, or perhaps to take the dog out for a poop.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.